A very good afternoon to you. This is The Edge program, the weekly art and culture show. And we have been speaking with Asil Attar, the CEO of Majid Al Futtaim Fashion, also 88 in the top 100 most powerful Arab women list, according to Arabian Business, and also driving the CSR direction for the company. Asil, before the break, we were talking about your collaboration with Sasha Jaffrey and the way he was helping the children express themselves in the work that is on display at the DIFC, which will be up for auction a little later, and we'll get some details about that in a bit. But I just want to talk to you about the role that you want the company, Majid Al Futtaim, to play in assisting Al Noor and skilling up children and young adults and integrating them into society. How do you think the art program assists with that?
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess there's two factors with that. The art program itself really helps to, like I said, enhance their lives. When you see the children, and they have amazing facilities. They have workshops, printing, sewing, art. And when you see us give the children these different projects, for example, like we did for Hands and Hearts, they loved the participation. They were so excited to see the finished works on stage being, you know, modeled by these beautiful women. They were so excited to see their work being auctioned and, you know, for people to see the value in the work that they do. Mm-hmm. So it helps them from that aspect. And now in Majid Al Futtaim Fashion, what we're working on is a work placement program, because the Al Noor Center has a very extensive training and work placement for vocational skills. So we want to be able to integrate them into our working community, into our retail stores, into our head office, and really make them feel part of, you know, the society and really be respected and part of the team. And that's what it's about. As well as, for me, having a CSR initiative is not just a tick in the box. It comes from from a very passionate personal place.
Mm-hmm. I guess that was my next question, that many companies do approach CSR as a ticker box responsibility rather than the rolling up the sleeves and a heavy involvement in the actual project. So how different, when you say it's not a ticker box commitment, how different is what you're pursuing from the average CSR initiative?
Sure. So, for example, again, in the initial launch that we did, I involved all of the business, down to the frontline teams, our salespeople from our stores, our store managers. They all attended the event, they facilitated the event, they helped with the setting up, they met with the children, they toured the facility, they, you know, welcomed the guest. We encourage absolutely each and every individual. So it's not just from a corporate. We don't sit in the office and just give money and then, you know, have them do the initiative. I involve all of my teams consistently. Mm-hmm. And it's really not an option. They have to be involved because, you know, for me, like I said, it comes from a passionate place. And unless you feel, you know, for me as a business, if we don't care, then my teams and my business doesn't care. So again, with Sasha Jaffari and the launch and the workshop, we invite, you know, all of the stores, all the store teams, all my managers, head office, to come and see the children working with Sasha. And it's quite an emotional, and it makes your job well worth it when you know that you and your business that you're working for give back to the community.
Mm-hmm. And how much is Majid Al Futtaim assisting or investing in Al Noor? You know, is there a dollar commitment each year? How does the relationship work?
Sure. I mean, for the collaboration we're doing with Sasha, we have a target internally. We would like to be able to auction the piece for no less than 1.5 million dirhams. And we feel that's very achievable because, you know, particularly with Sasha's work, he's an investment, an asset to any business, and gains consistent value. And like you said, the recent piece that he sold was just under $1 million. So every launch we do, because it's a self-funded organization, we do have a target that we want to achieve in order to give back to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, just going back to the students at Al Noor, when it comes to graduation time, and you said you want to help with them integrating into the workplace, are you kind of going to follow their career paths as far as, you know, where they go after they graduate? How's that relationship going to work?
Absolutely. We're working jointly with Al Noor to create a retail training retail training so that we make sure that when the children do graduate and come into our facility, whether it's in a head office position, whether it's in stores, that they're fully trained in the retail environment in fashion terminology, because we do want to help them in their career path. We would love for them to participate, whether it's in buying, merchandising, marketing. You know, there's so many options and possibilities. So absolutely, it's not just a temporary work placement. We want to give them a permanent job so that they have, you know, they generate their incomes, are self-sustaining and are independent.
Now, you, Asil, have a British education, background in interior design. Through various directions, you've ended up in management teams, a management team at Harrods, and now heading up Majid Al Futtaim Fashion here in Dubai. Now, the fashion part of business, that business, the MAF business, has been running since 2006. What exactly is your remit for the business and going forward?
Well, we want to conquer the world. You know? That's in a nutshell, that's what I want to do.
Okay, world conquered.
World conquering in fashion. I mean, I've been very fortunate in my background to have worked with the most amazing designers. Working in Harrods for me was a incredible experience, working with Mohammed Al-Fayed, you know, great guy, really motivating and inspiration. And Harrods was an incredible place to be. So through all my learnings, what I want to bring to Majid Al Futtaim Fashion is that benchmarking. I want to create a unique retail experience. We're, you know, always looking for amazing new brands. Fashion is a very dynamic, ever-changing environment. But, you know, that's why we do CSR, because it grounds us. You can get very caught away in the world of fashion. So that's our way of staying in touch, you know, and giving back.
Now, your personal background is fascinating. Originally from the Middle East, born in Baghdad, Persian and Indian roots. And also your family is fascinating. Engineers, architects, artists.
The whole lot.
We needed a lawyer. I just wonder, with your influence in your background, how did turning to fashion sit with the family kind of achievements there?
Oh, absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, art in itself, whether it's architecture, engineering, you name it, it's all very interrelated. And my mother was an interior designer, so I come from a very artistic background. So they loved it. And it was a natural progression, I guess, from interiors to fashion.
Now, and I would like to continue on with the fashion portion, just to let our listeners know, you've worked with brands like Karen Millen, Whistles and Jigsaw. You helped McQueen, Dolce & Gabbana, Versace launch their own labels. A quote from American Vogue referred you as a builder of dream teams. But when we look at your dreams for the region, you've been in the UAE for four and a half years now. What are your personal dreams for the UAE and the fashion scene here?
Ah, now that would be telling, wouldn't it? That's my strategy. I'm not going to share
dreams?
That. I said it in a nutshell. I said it's a global,
dreams.
It's regional domination, changing the landscape of retailing, really setting higher expectations, you know, bringing in some fantastic, unique brands.
Well, when you say setting higher expectations, do you think there haven't been expectations haven't been high enough?
No, I think absolutely. I mean, this is a place to shop, right? It's a shopping haven, and you have all the amazing brands in the world. And I think you have to constantly be on your toes, looking out for the next best thing, you know, investing in your people, making sure in terms of product knowledge, the standards, you know, everything has to be tip top, because being in Dubai, you know, London, Paris, New York, Milan, and Dubai, right? So you have to make sure that you're constantly on the edge and seeking for newness.
So is that why it's really important for you to kind of inject a culture into the company of CSR responsibility and connecting with the community?
Absolutely. And that's a top priority for the business, and we'll continue to do so.
Now,
Inshallah.
Well, it would be remiss of me to not mention this, that the World Cup, by the way, if you didn't know, the Dubai World
Cup actually. Is it really?
Yeah, this Saturday, apparently. And now I have been informed that I'll be attending, but with Dubai Eye, we're going to be broadcasting there. I'll be broadcasting from 12 till 2. So for people listening, driving in their cars, thinking, yes, I'm going as well, maybe we could get some do's and don'ts from you that you might recommend for dressing, preparing.
Big don't is don't look like Big Bird, ladies. You don't want feathers and a whole big thing going on in your hair. You know, for me, it's always about understated elegance. So if you're going quite fancy on the base, you need to keep it quite light on the top and vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's all about the shoes and the accessories. Bigger, better, bolder.
Mm-hmm. And people should make the effort with the hats and the fascinators.
It's all about the hats as well. Absolutely. And you can see there's so many beautiful fascinators and hats around. So always, you know, complement your skin tone, match it to your makeup.
What about the fellas? Is there any kind of hard and fast rule for the guys?
Well, you know what? Fellas don't really. They're not my priority.
Right.
So, yeah. Color blocking is not an option for guys.
For guys.
Don't go for the brights.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't go for the brights. Okay. Well, just why don't you just remind us about the details of the Al North fundraising that is going on at the moment, how people can get in touch, when the auction is, and all the details for
sure.
That.
So the actual constellation and the installation are at the DIFC until the 31st of this month. So please do go and see it because it's an amazing experience. And then the actual auction is going to be May the 23rd. Mm-hmm. But the auction is very intimate and very private. It's really a select handful of people that we'll be inviting.
So if people they need to be invited, if people like to express interest in the pieces, how
I'm
can
always
do that?
Saying, you know, if you go to the installation itself, do contact us at Majd al-Futtaim if you're interested in bidding, for sure. All the proceeds obviously going back to An-Noor, and that's, you know, that's keeping it real and making sure that that's what this is all about.
Well, Asil Attar, thank you very much for joining us. And
fabulous.
All the best. You have to come back and let us know how much the auction raises for Al-Noor. And, of course, people want to donate money or donate their time to Al-Noor, they can get in touch on the Al-Noor website.
Absolutely.
As well.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
You're welcome. You are listening to Dubai Eye 103.8, The Edge Program, the weekly art and culture show. Coming up, plenty more details on art.